Luke chapter 2. You'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 15 through 20 this morning of Luke chapter 2. If you found Luke chapter 2, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'll read verses 15, 17, and 19. If you'll read the evens with me, 16, 18, and 20, this morning of Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin there in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading. Thank you so much for the time when we can come, close out this year, Lord, with hearing from your word. Lord, I pray you'd bless the preaching, bless the message. Lord, I pray you bless as well the special. Lord, prepare our hearts for the message. May we listen and take what's been taught to us that you've given through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you would just bless. In your name we pray. Amen.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally knelt, contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when you saved my soul.
I remember the day,
when the Lord saved me, all of heaven came down, I was happy and free, glory filled my soul, for I knew the Lord had made me whole.
I shall never forget the day.
Peacefulness deep within my heart abides since the day that Jesus took my sins away. Now to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
All of heaven came down, I was happy and free, glory filled my soul, for I knew the Lord had made me whole.
I shall never forget
the day when the Lord saved me. I shall never forget
when the Lord saved me.
Thank you. Amen. Good singing. Good to have. I know Tom's excited to have the family home for Christmas. My, my, my. What a blessing. And all the kids in church and serving the Lord, and that's a blessed thing. Wonderful. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the disclosure. The disclosure out of Luke 2, 15 through 20. And next Sunday morning, I can almost certainly make you a promise that we will not be in Luke chapter 2. All right? But we have been these past three, and now today. And we'll finish it up. Luke chapter, and I've sounded a little bit loud, overwhelming. I thought maybe it was, maybe, I don't know if you're okay. Is it too loud? Can you hear in the back all right? Sounds really okay. Very good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to have this message today to bring to your people. I pray that you'll speak to my heart, to their heart. May we all have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us this morning. Thank you for the good song. May we never forget the day that you saved us. And Lord, help us now in this message to honor and glorify you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And amen. Over the past three Sundays, we have found the story of Christ's birth, although 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, to be very relevant for the day in which we now live. Scriptural, eternal principles that are always helpful. They never cease to instruct, to convict, to encourage, to help us in some way. And are we surprised at that? We shouldn't be. That's the very nature of our Bible, isn't it? The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that it is quick, which means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a wonderful, wonderful book written over all those years, over 1,600 years, by 40 different pens, all coming from the Spirit of God, that was finished in the very first century since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, and it meets our needs today. You don't make many books like this one, amen? In fact, it's the only one like that. Three Sundays ago, we looked at verses 1 through 5, talking about the decree and how God ruled through a king, Caesar Augustus, to accomplish his divine will and his plan for the baby Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, down by Jerusalem. And God still rules, and he continues to accomplish his will and his plan, even through men like Obama and Putin and the other men who are not saved, who don't believe in the God of heaven. God's divine will is still accomplished today in this world. And then in verses 6 and 7, we looked at the delivery, and how the Virgin Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and how the devil was there at work trying to kill Jesus, because Jesus is the deliverer. When Mary delivered Christ, she delivered the deliverer, the one who delivers people from their sin. And then last Sunday, verses 8 through 14, we talked about the declaration, the announcement, the declaration of Christ's birth. The Father sent the announcement. The angels carried the announcement, and the shepherds were the one who received the declaration of the birth of Jesus Christ. God's message, carried by messengers, the angels, to common men. Men who probably were not well educated. Men who were not what we might call really smart people, but men who would believe, now watch this, without debate and without dispute, what God told them. That's a rare person to find. And I say again, what I said last week, I'm not anti-education. I'm not anti-intellectualism or anti-academics. But so many times those things have interfered with God's work rather than enhanced it. The message came to simple men, common men. God's message has always been and must now be received by faith. And the shepherds actually show us what I want to call for a moment before I get to the meat of the message, the sequence of faith. I want you to look at verse number 15 when they begin speaking about midway through verse 15. And I want to show you the sequence of faith here. Look at it. They said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Right there, if you'd like to mark your Bible, circle that portion of verse 15. Because I believe in what the shepherds said there, we see the sequence of faith. Look at it again. "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem," one phrase, "and see this thing which has come to pass," second phrase, "which the Lord hath made known unto us," last phrase. Now, let's take them in reverse order, and you'll see the sequence of faith. First of all, they said, "The Lord hath made known unto us." That's message heard. Message heard. "The Lord hath made known unto us." The angel came and gave them the message on the hillside there, outside of Bethlehem, as they watched their flocks by night. That's message heard, all right? Now, the middle phrase of what they said, "and see this thing which is come to pass." That's message believed. See this thing which is come. That's certainty. That means I believe it. They didn't say, "Let's go check out and see whether or not this happened. Let's go check out and see maybe if this thing happened or not." They said, let's go see this thing which is come to pass. That's message believed. So you got message heard. Then you've got message believed. Now look at the first phrase of what they said. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. That's message received or message acted on or message carried out in obedience. Do you see that, friend? They heard it, they believed it, and then they acted on it. You know what that is? That's the sequence of faith. That's the sequence of faith. Listen very carefully. Faith begins with hearing the truth. It continues with believing the truth, and it ends with receiving or acting on truth. We won't turn to it, but you got a whole chapter in your Bible in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, that gives example after example after example of faith, using men and women from the Old Testament. And what you'll find if you read down through there, friend, is you'll find that faith is more than just some mental assent that there is a God. It's far more than that. The devils have that kind of faith. Okay? So faith is far more than that. You've got Noah. The Bible says that he was warned of God. Message heard. And he prepared to build an ark for the saving of his house. Message believed. And then he got busy and he started building the ark. Message acted on. That's the sequence of faith. You've got Abraham, who heard the message come out from your country, who believed that he was looking for a city whose builder and ruler was God. And he left home and went to a place not knowing for sure where he was going to end up. That's the sequence of faith. Faith is message heard, message believed, and message received. By the way, that's the sequence of faith when it comes to Bible salvation. Salvation. It must be heard, it must be believed, and it must be acted on or received. We won't turn to it this morning, but let me quote for you Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's still a good promise today. Now listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Reverse it. And there's the sequence of faith again. Somebody hears. People must hear. And when they hear the message of Jesus Christ, some will believe. And some who believe will call. And anybody who calls gets saved. That's the promise. A great promise. But there's a sequence. You got to hear, you got to believe, and you've got to receive. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I'll say it again. Listen, just hearing the message alone is not enough. We got some folks in, I get missionary letters from our missionaries that we support out here. Stop by and read some of those letters on the board, on the wall out there once in a while. And you'll read things like I read this week from some of our missionaries. Please pray for her. And it's usually names that you can't pronounce. Okay? And it says, because they're coming to our services, but they are not saved. They're hearing it, but they're not saved. We have the same thing here in the United States of America. Some folks are convinced that sitting in a pew at a Bible preaching church is sufficient for their salvation. Are you sure you're going to heaven someday? Oh, yes. How do you know that? I go to church. I hear it. I go to church, and I'll tell you one of the saddest things in all the world, friend, is to go to hell from the pews of a Baptist church. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you're saved. You got to do more than just hear it. You got to believe it. The message must be received. It must be believed. It must be in the heart, a sincere acceptance of the message, a sincere belief in the message of Jesus Christ, that He was crucified and that He was buried, and that the third day He rose again from the dead for our justification, for our salvation. When He died, was buried, and rose again, He paid the penalty in full for us. And that's got to be believed. But wait. It's more than just believing. It's more than just believing in your heart. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There must be another step of confessing or receiving or accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you understand, friend, that it's possible to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and still go to hell? Because you never acted in faith and received it personally into your own heart. I'm talking about a definitive experience where you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Friend, you don't get saved by osmosis. You don't get saved just by being in the environment of a Bible-preaching church or some Bible-oriented study or some Bible-oriented class. You don't just get saved by participating in some group conversation. You get saved by individually, personally, placing your trust in Jesus as your personal Savior. That's when salvation comes. That's the sequence of faith. Hearing it, believing it, and then receiving. That's what the shepherds did in a different matter. They heard the announcement of God from the angel. They believed that it was true. And the shepherds acted on that by going to Jerusalem. That is what we call true faith in God's Word. I want to ask you this morning, have you been saved? Have you believed? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Please think about that. Please consider that's the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. Far more important than how much money you make. Far more important than what size house do you live in. Far more important than what kind of car do you drive. Far more important than what you're doing in life. You're fulfilling your purpose. Far more important than all of that, are you saved? Has there been that time in your life when you heard the message, you believed it, and then you acted on that belief by confessing with your mouth, asking Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, trusting Him? That's the sequence of faith. The sequence of faith. And friend, look, if you're not saved, time is running out in this world. Brother Caleb talked about that this morning. Time is running out, so don't put it off. Be saved. That's the sequence of faith. So, their trip to Bethlehem was an act of faith in what God had told them. All right, look at verse 16. Look at it here. And the Bible says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, they believed it, and they heard it, they believed it, and they acted on it. And guess what? When they got there with their eyes, they saw it. Well, you know what? We sang a lot of songs this morning about seeing God, seeing Jesus. Did you recognize that in the service? We sang, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Then the choir sang, "I believe the promise of His coming." And then we sang again, "One day I shall see Him and I shall see Him." There's a lot of songs this morning about seeing Christ. You understand, friend? I'm saved now by faith in what I've heard and what I believe and receiving and acting, and by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And one day my faith will become sight. I'll see. And their faith became sight. And they went to Bethlehem and they found the manger, and there was just as they were told. There was Mary, there was Joseph, and there was the baby Jesus, and the shepherds rejoiced. Now, to the meat of the message, and it's not a long message, so don't panic, all right? I took that much time on purpose. I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to deal with the matter of salvation this morning. I had it in the notes to do it. Because look, it's not enough just to hear it, and it's not enough just to believe it. You must act on that by receiving Christ as your Savior. That's so vital. So vital. Now look at verse 17 in our text this morning. The Bible says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Now, if you read carefully with me there, you saw that the word "told" was used two times in those verses. Do you see that? In verse 18, you have where the shepherds told what was told them. I'm sorry. They were told about the Christ child in verse 17. And in verse number 18, you have where the shepherds told others. So the shepherds were told by the angel, and then the others were told by the shepherds. Now what? Isn't that how the sequence of faith begins? People have to hear the message. They got to hear it. That's where we started in verse 15 with the sequence of faith. That's where we started in Romans chapter 10 with the sequence of faith. You got to hear it. It must be heard. And for it to be heard, it has to be told for people to hear. Someone has to tell or disclose the message. And that's what disclosure means. To reveal by words. To make known. The shepherds were told that a Savior had come into the world. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. The anointed Messiah. And then the shepherds benefited from that disclosure. But watch it, friend. It wasn't just for them. They went out and they disclosed it to others. And because they told others, many people benefited from the same thing that was told to the shepherds. That's how the sequence of faith begins. Now you say, what did the shepherds tell them? Well, look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." They simply told what was told to them. And that's how the sequence of faith can begin for somebody. I just take what was told to me, and I tell somebody else. And they get saved, and they take what was told to them, and they tell somebody else. And then they take it, and it just goes, and you get the picture, friend, from one person to the other person, from one person, someone is told the message, they tell it to someone else, who tells it to someone else, who tells it to someone else, and you get the picture, and every time it is told, the sequence of faith has an opportunity to get started, because faith begins with hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing. The message must be heard. And when it's heard, it can be believed. And if it's believed and somebody calls and acts on that belief, they're saved. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. So this is where it all begins. Every time it's told, the sequence of faith has an opportunity to get started. Somebody told you. Somebody told you. Let me ask you a question. Have you told somebody? Have you told somebody? They say, what I am doing this morning is considered a disclosure of truth. I'm up here in the pulpit delivering the message of God from the Word of God. I haven't taken anything out of context. I haven't taken anything that's not written there in black and white right there for you to read yourself. And by the way, that's why we encourage you to bring your Bible with you so you can check it out for yourself to see that the man in the pulpit is preaching what God said, not his own opinion. Amen. I haven't taken anything out of context. I'm disclosing truth to us this morning, the message of God. But disclosing the message of God is not done only from a pulpit. It is accomplished from person to person. From person to person. Somebody told you how to be saved. Have you taken that same message and told somebody else? Because that's how God designed it. That's how it happened here with the birth of Christ. The angel told the shepherds, they saw and believed, they believed, they went and they saw and they began to tell others. And that's exactly how it all is supposed to happen. Now, what the angel disclosed in the declaration was the means of salvation. The angel said, there is a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. That means that salvation has come to man. And that is the message that must continue to be disclosed. And if you and I will be faithful to disclose the message of Christ and His salvation, hey, some will believe and they will receive eternal life in heaven, Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it must begin with them hearing the message. Yesterday morning, Brother Caleb had a little time of testimony in the bus meeting. And Caitlin Seaman gave a fascinating testimony. You know, if you've been in church here for a while, that Caitlin has been to China twice. You've been to China twice. And worked in a school that teaches English over there. They teach English and other things, but their main purpose for being there is to have opportunities to give the gospel to Chinese people. By the way, there's a lot of Chinese folks being converted to Jesus Christ right now. Unbelievable. Communist China. Missionaries were there, and great work of God was going on to the Boxer Rebellion, and then missionaries were persecuted, missionaries were martyred. And for years and years and years, China has been under the cloud, the darkness, the cover of communism. Communism has killed more people than Nazism. And it's not just an ungodly thing, it's godless. No God. And Caitlin's gone over there twice. You ought to go by the board out here and read the letter from Kendall Lawman. It'll bless your heart. Kendall Lawman and his family have been there now, I think, 20 years in China. Laboring. Telling the message. So Caitlin goes, different place. And she teaches English and teaches things in the school. And she makes the acquaintance of some lady, a Chinese lady who's an unbeliever. And she makes the time for to go out to eat with the unbeliever because they're not permitted to talk about salvation there on the campus of the school. So she makes the appointment to go with the Chinese lady. She takes her out to eat at the restaurant and witnesses to her about Jesus Christ because there she's free to do it. So she tells this lady how to be saved. And the lady heard the message. And I don't know if the lady believed it in her heart or not then, but I know one thing she didn't do. She didn't receive Christ. She didn't take it all the way through and trust in Christ as her personal Savior. She heard it. Maybe she believed it, but she didn't act in faith upon it. Caitlin flew back here. This was this last trip. She flew back here to the States and toward the beginning of August. She'd been teaching in our school. She's a wonderful teacher. And that fifth and sixth grade class has been praying for this lady to get saved. Just a few days ago, Caitlin gets a Christmas card from this lady who said, "I wanted you to know that I have moved to Utah. And in Utah, I was introduced to a Chinese Baptist church. I have been saved. I have been baptized. And I am attending this Chinese Baptist church in the state of Utah." You talk about a Christmas present, friend. Huh? You talk about a Christmas present. And that's what I'm talking about. Even when we make an attempt to tell somebody and we don't see them carry it all the way through by receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, a seed is planted. We had a testimony this morning from a person who's new to our church and on the job. The Lord's been working on her heart to just witness. She had this opportunity and she felt a little bit anxious about it because it was company time, but it was just thrown out there by a co-worker right on the table. And this lady gave witness of her saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and how she was blind by some erroneous church doctrine for years that a man absolved you of your sin. That's erroneous. And by the time she finished sharing that gospel message, there were other people gathered around her cubicle listening. That's what I'm talking about this morning, friend. Have you told someone? Somebody told you. Somebody told me. Somebody told the shepherds that Jesus is born. They heard it. They believed it. They received it. And they went and saw it for themselves. And they began to tell others. And they benefited from the message. That's what I'm talking about. And if you and I will be faithful to disclose the message of Christ and His salvation, some will believe and some will receive and some will be saved because of that. That's a, now look, somebody told you. I'm talking about salvation. You heard it, you believed it, and you received it. You are saved. You're on your way to heaven. You have eternal life in that wonderful place where God... Look, everybody's going to live eternally somewhere. You'll spend eternity in the midst of eternal life, or you'll spend eternity in the midst of eternal death in hell. That's awful. And if you've been saved... Oh, my friend, you have been given eternal life in that wonderful place where God lives. You have a gold mine. In fact, you have something greater than a gold mine. You have something greater than the cure for cancer. Wouldn't that be something if you could, if you discovered the cure for cancer? I bet you, I'm not a betting man, unless it's a Coca-Cola or something. But anyway, no, I'm just teasing. But I bet you this morning, if we took the time to go around this auditorium, family by family, there's folks here that have large numbers of their family members, and there's folks here that are the only one from their family. And I would bet if we would take every family represented here, I would imagine every family has been touched by in some way by cancer. It's incredible. And the stories never end. They never end. My brother died of cancer in October. 2 weeks after he died, maybe I told you, I don't know if I told you this, I forget sometimes what I tell you. 2 weeks after he died, we get a call from Lisa, his wife, who says, "I have cancer." She found it a year ago. In 2011. Right after Tom had his debilitating surgery and was left paralyzed on the right side of his body in a very simple thinking mind, that's when she found the lump. It was the size of a plum. He said, go have it checked. She said, if I do that, who's going to take care of you? And with a simple mind, he said, okay. I don't know what he understood, what he didn't. She carried that cancer in her body for a whole year. Never told her kids, never told her parents, never told my parents, never told any of us. So after Tom was gone. Now she's in chemo. Had all the radiation she can have. She's got cancer. That's my story. You've got your story. Every family has somehow been touched by cancer. Jeff, your brother died of cancer. Your brother died of cancer. Am I right, Greg? On and on it goes. Story after story after story after story after story after story of people in our families with cancer. Now, if you came up with the cure for cancer, do you think you'd sit on that? Would you keep that to yourself? Of course not. I read the funniest story about Sephro Dollar. Sephro Dollar is one of these TV evangelists who has the power of healing. And he went to India and was meeting with some officials over there to set up this opportunity to hold a crusade. What are you going to do in this crusade? We're going to have services and I'm going to heal people. Listen, this is over in India. You talk about smart. They said, you mean you can heal people? They said, yes. He said, yes. He said, well, they said, good, come on, come with us. Before we give you an opportunity to have a service, we're going to see. They took him to the hospital. I said, here they are. Heal them. Heal them now. I can hear them. He's not funny. I know Roth. This is not funny. Heal them. Yeah. He couldn't heal them. They said, no, you go home. You're not holding your services here. You're fake. They got more sense than we Americans got. Amen. Sure. Absolutely. Friend, if we had the cure to cancer, you think I'd sit on the cure to cancer? You think if I came up with the cure for cancer, I would sit on that with a brother who passed away, with a sister-in-law who's now in stage 3? You think you'd sit on that? Nobody would sit on the news of having discovered a cure for cancer, which tells me that's still not out there yet. Oh, there are things that help. But I'm talking about a locked, dead, sure cure. Now look, folks, as wonderful as a cure for cancer would be, and it'd be pretty wonderful, wouldn't it? As wonderful as a cure for cancer would be, we do have the cure for man's sin problem. We've got it. We've had it since God shared it with us. My son will come. He will live a sinless life. He will die being judged for your sin so that your sin can be paid for and forgiven. And if you'll trust in his death, burial, and resurrection to save you, you can have eternal life in heaven. We have the cure for man's sin problem. And we sit on it. We don't believe it's as wonderful as we say. We had the cure for cancer, we'd run through the streets. We'd be in every doctor's office, every hospital, every medical building. We've got the cure for men's sin problem. We can't leave a gospel track with anybody. Sitting on it. Sitting on the message. I'm not talking about just the opportunity to go out and go door to door to door to door to door. No, I'm not talking about that only, friend. There are 100 ways to share the gospel, to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Listen, we have salvation. We're only going to live as long as God lives, where God lives. Our sins are forgiven, washed away, never to be used against us, born into God's family. And we're going to sit on that kind of blessing? Shame on us. Have you told anybody? Somebody told you. Now look, you might have been good to somebody, do some good deeds to help somebody. Maybe you helped someone with physical needs. Maybe you provided clothing. You know, I was so thrilled. We need to write those folks at Jewel. They were so good to work with us in these Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. And 40, how many at Thanksgiving time? Thanksgiving was 40. 45, 90 baskets went out of this place for Thanksgiving and Christmas. 90. Unreal. 90. And I'm glad we had the opportunity to do that. That brought help to people. Really did. Just clothing and food. And, you know, maybe you made somebody laugh. Maybe you entertained them. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. To substitute that for telling somebody with your mouth? No, that's not sufficient. Got to tell them. The angel didn't come down from heaven and bring the shepherds some bread. The angel didn't come down from heaven and bring the shepherds a warm coat. The angel came down and told them a Savior's born. And the shepherds went out, and guess what they said? A Savior's born. A Savior's born. A Savior's born. And that, my friend, every time that message is told, the sequence of faith has an opportunity to begin in somebody's life, because faith starts with hearing. It starts with hearing. And believing. And then receiving. Now, I'm talking to folks, it's the end of the year. Some of you started out with great intentions about being a witness, but really it's just kind of faltered. You know, the great thing about God, there's always a starting over place. Get your heart cranked up about it. Hey, you know, the sequence of faith about this truth begins for me and you today. Now watch this. I'm done. We're hearing that we should tell. Or we're hearing it for the first time, or hearing it again, that we should tell. All right? Do you believe it? Well, I don't know. Don't rewrite the Bible. Well, I think you should live. I agree with you. I think your life should speak of Christ. But so should our mouth. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're going to have to take your Bible and scratch out some verses. Nope, not for me, not for me, not for me. Why don't you just believe it? If you heard it and you believe it, now you've got to make plans to act on it. Go by and get you some tracts. Do what that lady who's new to our church did. When the opportunity comes along at work, launch out and tell. And hey, listen, come February, after missions conference is over, Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, Brother Caleb's going to start teaching a class. It'll be about 6 weeks long. It'll meet for 6 weeks at 5 o'clock on Sunday night. And he's going to teach on how you and I can tell the message of Jesus Christ. Pointers and helps. And I'm not against that. We're doing it. I'm glad we're doing it. But to be honest, folks, the shepherds didn't have a class. They didn't have Romans Road. But they knew what they'd seen. Let me tell you what happened to me. Can you say that much? Let me tell you what happened to me. Now, you've got to have your own story before you can tell somebody else. Once you get your own story, then you can go out and you can tell somebody else. They might get saved and tell somebody else. And every time it's told or disclosed, the sequence of faith has an opportunity to begin. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. The disclosure. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention. Heavenly Father, would you please speak to our hearts? It's not enough, dear Lord, for just to stand up here and speak words. Lord, you use words, but I pray the Holy Spirit might deliver those words to our heart right now. Speak to our heart, oh God, please. I pray in Jesus' name.